out there. Today we're going to be doing our next song of the summer. Jill started us off with that last week. And through the summer we're going to be looking at some different psalms and what they can teach us. The psalms are kind of in the middle of your Bible for those who aren't familiar, and it's kind of a series of kind of songs, which is why it's called Songs of the Summer. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 73. I've called this Rescued from a Slippery Slope. We're going to listen to the psalm in a moment, and this is what's called a psalm of lament. It's a psalm really about recognising some stuff that's wrong in the world. So some of the psalm might seem a little depressing, but that's what a psalm of lament is. It's kind of recognising that we live in an imperfect world and being sad about some of those things. But actually, in essence, it then is a psalm about God's goodness. It starts declaring God is good to those who are pure in heart. And it finishes with some good declarations of what God's done for us. But it is a psalm of lament. And so it might seem like there's some tough stuff in it. And we're going to kind of tackle some of that this morning as well. It's going to be read to us in a bit of a different way on the screen. But if you want to follow it in your Bible, you can do that as well. So let's listen to Psalm 73.
Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else. They wear pride like a jeweled necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for. They scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against the very heavens, and their words struck throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know, they ask? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at these wicked people, enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. So I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. Then I went into your sanctuary, O God. And I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. Truly, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realized that my heart was bitter and I was all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do.
Okay, some tough stuff in there. This is actually a psalm of Asaph. A lot of the psalms are written by King David. Asaph was the chief musician in the time of David. He was a Levite, a priest. And actually, his sons then go on to minister musically throughout the Old Testament. 400 years later, in the time of Nehemiah, they're still talking about the sons of Asaph worshipping in the temple. We don't know if that's his actual sons or whether it's kind of people who were mentored by him and then that kind of wisdom got passed on. But actually, if kind of the sons of Asaph were still ministering in the temple 400 years later, then I think he kind of knew what he was on about and he was doing a good job. And like we said, this is in essence a psalm about God's goodness, but it's also a psalm of lament about our tendency to get distracted by the world around us. Nikki Gumbel tells a story about a woman who lived near his church. She lived on the street and begged for money outside the church often and was often aggressive to the people who refused her. When she died, Nikki took the funeral. And in the course of preparing for the funeral, he discovered that at some point in her life, she'd inherited a large fortune. She earned a luxurious flat and many valuable paintings. But yet she'd still chosen to live on the streets with a bag of rubbish. She couldn't bring herself to leave behind the life she knew and step into a full inheritance and to live the life that she could have. Why on earth would she do that? If she earned all of those riches, why would she live a life of poverty? It seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Do you think it could have been out of comfort, out of safety, out of fear of the unknown, or just out of habit? But my question to us this morning is, what's our plastic bag of rubbish? What is it from our old life that is stopping us from stepping into with the full inheritance of all that God has got for us? Asaph, in this psalm, writes about the things that he says cause him to almost slip, the very slippery slope. In the message, he said they caused him to nearly miss it. He talks about the things of the world that caused him to miss seeing God's goodness, what's really important. These things distracted him. It's things that he saw that people in the world around him had. We don't know what he had, but he could see that people in the world not living God's ways had these things. So the four things that were causing him to almost slip and be distracted from God were people around him having these four things. The first one is prosperity. In verse 3, he's kind of saying, all these people all around me, you aren't living your way, God. They're prospering. They had material wealth, and he was angry about that. The second thing is he saw all the people not living God's way being healthy and strong. He talks about that in verse 4. They had good health. The third thing is that the people around him were free from burdens. And he was distracted by seeing other people apparently worry-free. And then the fourth thing he talks about is the people who are not following God taking possession of the earth. Despite their arrogance and their wrongdoing, people are following them. They had popularity. And it's tough, isn't it, as a Christian, when we see people all around us prospering and appearing like they're free from burdens, they have nothing wrong in their life, when maybe that's not true for us. It doesn't seem fair. We're trying to live our life right and everything's going wrong, whereas people out there in the world are just doing what the heck they like and they seem to have everything. And that can be pretty tough. And Asaph in this psalm gets really depressed about this, about the world around him. And he's kind of saying to God in this psalm, this is really unfair. Why on earth should I keep being good? Why should I keep striving to have a pure heart and following God when all around me people are doing the opposite and seeming to gain so much? He says in verse 13, why do I keep my heart pure in vain? What is the point? One version says he's plagued by it. And the message says, I've got a splitting headache trying to work this out, God. Does God not see what is happening here? Come on, God. This is not fair. All these people are getting all these things. And I just wonder, do you ever feel like that? Sometimes I do. Why does that person have that and I don't? Why am I carrying all these aches and pains when all these people around me are so fit and healthy? My life is so hard and they have no problems. Why can I not be as popular as them? Everyone wants to be their friend and they're just horrible to everyone. And I know for a young person especially that was true for me. It always seemed that nastiness buys popularity, doesn't it? People want to be their friend but not my friend even though I'm nice. And why is everything happening to me, God. I'm trying to be good and live your way. Can't you see what's happening? It's not fair. I know that I can identify with some of those things, and maybe you can too. But then there's some good news. Asaph comes into the sanctuary of God. It says in verse 17, until I entered the sanctuary of God, and then I saw the full picture. Asaph came into God's place and he came into God's presence, and then he understood. Being in God's presence helps us to understand what's important in the world. It's all about destiny. We don't live God's way for the rewards of the world. We don't live God's way so that we'll get wealthy, so that we'll have good health, so we'll be worry-free, so we'll have popularity. We don't choose to follow God because it leads to those things. We choose to follow God because of our destiny. And Asaph is actually pretty harsh on himself here. He kind of becomes a bit inward-looking. He's in the NIV, he says, I am senseless and I am ignorant. In the message, he says, I was totally consumed by envy. I was totally ignorant. He calls himself a dumb ox. And in the video, this is the New Living Translation, he said, I'm so foolish and ignorant. God, I must have seen like a senseless animal to you. He's kind of pretty harsh on himself there. He's kind of going, oh God, what an idiot I am. To have been looking to those things for you. Because basically he's realised he's looking for his hope in the wrong place. Those things are not important in God's kingdom. He even says in verse 20, when you arise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas, as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. And that's where he's talking about kind of this envy of material wealth, good health, being worry-free, popularity. And those things don't seem like silly ideas, do they? It seems like a bit harsh that he's calling himself dumb and senseless because he was after those things. They don't seem like silly ideas to us. And there's nothing wrong with them, per se. If you're wealthy or you've got good health, there's nothing wrong with that. But what Asaph's realizing is being envious of those things and seeking after them and pursuing them and wanting to be like others that have those. That can cause our foot to slip. That can cause us to be distracted from God. They can become that carrier bag that we carry from our old life that we're not willing to let go of and to surrender. They're the things that the world sees as important. And we can then put them seconds to having a pure heart. Even though we might know that they're secondary in God's kingdom, we put them before seeking God. But then at the end of the psalm comes the good news, because Asaph is in God's presence and he's realised he's getting it wrong and his focus has become distracted. And even though it is true, all of those things are still true, the evil people in the world have got all those things. When he comes into God's sanctuary and into God's presence, he realises that those are not the important things in life and that they've distracted him. And he's kind of confessing through his song in this psalm. And Jill talked last week when she was looking at her psalm about the importance of confession. And when we confess and turn to God, it's never too late. And in verse 23, Asaph says, yet I still belong to you and you hold on to me. Even though his foot has almost slipped, God is still holding on to him. God's love is enough for him. A theologian called Kidner says, this great psalm is the story of a bitter and despairing search, which has now been rewarded beyond all expectation. Through lamenting for what he doesn't have and mourning for what he doesn't have, Asaph has been able to go through a process of then seeing the goodness of what he does have. And because he's then able to kind of let those things go in the middle part of the psalm, he's able to step into this reward that's beyond all expectation. He realises that in God there's a greater blessing than everything that the world can offer. And then in the last bit, I was just reminded actually about that in that Good Good Father song we were just singing, where it says, we're all searching for answers, only God can provide. And those questions earlier where we kind of sometimes can get into going, God, it's not fair, what's this all about? Why don't I have this, they have that? Why is this happening to me? That actually It's when we come to our good Father, isn't it, that we can get the answers to those questions. And the end of the psalm just reveals God's blessing to us. It talks about God is with us through it all. God guides us and holds our hand. We have an eternal hope in God greater than any of those things of the world. God is our strength and our portion. And God is our refuge. And just to note, actually, on that bit about eternal hope, in Asaph's generation, believers wouldn't have had much revelation about life beyond the grave and about beyond our life. And he's probably kind of holding on to a hope of some future vindication during his lifetime rather than glory in heaven. And so actually for us reading this psalm today, our hope is so much bigger than his was when he was writing it, because we do know that there is an eternal hope, which he wouldn't have known. He was actually willing to go without the material in the now because he had a good relationship with God, and that was enough for him. God would be his strength. In verse 25, towards the end of the psalm, he says, "Earth has nothing I desire beside you." Earth has nothing I desire beside you. He was recognising, after all the battle with himself and with God that he was having, that none of those things is worth anything besides God. There's another theologian who said, "The problem of the suffering of the righteous has no clear resolution, but the pain is relieved by the experience of God's living presence." And that's what Asaph was experiencing here, that when he was in God's presence, his suffering is relieved. And I don't really want to be kind of twee this morning or dismissive of people's real problems and worries and stresses and just go, "Oh, go in God's presence and it'll all be okay," because I know that that is not the real experience of a lot of us. And things do not go away because we are following God. Our problems do not go away. But what I'm wanting to do is kind of challenge the tendency in all of us, including me, to be distracted from following God and from trying and striving to be pure and righteous by looking in the wrong places for our comfort, and by hanging on to our old ways and our shopping bags, and kind of thinking that seeking material wealth or health, trying to get rid of all our problems to be worry-free or having popularity, that that's going to make life better for us. Because actually, what is going to help us is doing what Asaph did, and sometimes crying out to God about those things. It's okay to lament. It's in loads of the Psalms, actually, people crying out to God and going, "God, why?" But actually, in all of the Psalms that do that, you'll find that at the end, the psalmist comes back to, "But God, you are bigger. You are better than this." And that's what Asaph did. As he stepped into God's sanctuary, then God will reveal himself to you. And so let's us do that. Step into God's sanctuary, into his holy place. Let him reveal himself to us. Let God be enough for us. Let him hold us. And let him rescue us from this slippery slope. Because it's in the place of worship that our perspective is changed and grace is extended to us. I know that I want to get to a place like Asaph did in verse 25, where I can say, "Earth has nothing I desire beside you," where God is first and he is all I need. Let's pray, shall we? Do you want to do a song? Yeah? Go on then. Let's do a song as well. I'll just pray, and then the band will just lead us in a final song while we just reflect on that. Just before I pray, just to remind you, no church in heaven this week, and also we'll be meeting again at the same time next week for breakfast, but there's also a picnic next week, so come prepared to picnic in Kingsway Park all together afterwards. That'd be good. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thank you for your psalms, the songs of praise to you. And God, we just thank you that they model that it's okay for us to sometimes think that everything's not all right, that it's okay for us to come and cry out in despair to you. And God, we recognise this morning that all's not right in the world, and that there are things that seem unjust towards us and towards other people. But God, we just thank you that you are enough, God, that when we come into your presence, we can get some perspective, and that you are the resolution to our issues, Lord God, that when we come into your presence, we can be rewarded beyond all expectation and have the goodness of the fullness of a relationship with you. And thank you that we do have an eternal hope, that we know that when we choose you and we live your way, we have the hope of your glory in heaven. But also we can see glimpses of your kingdom here on earth in our lives and be comforted by you. So Father God, we just pray that you'll come this morning. And where there's things in our life that are distracting or tempting us that could become a slippery slope for us if we don't get our eyes fixed on you. We pray that we'll just confess those things this morning, God. We're sorry when we make other things in the world our idols instead of putting you first. And God, this morning we want to put you in your rightful place. Just because earth has nothing we desire, God, apart from you. To us, that you are good to those who are pure in heart, and because of your grace and your love, that being pure in heart is something that is open to every one of us this morning.